Today's Shir Masechta Yuma Daf Samach Ches. We will begin on Daf Samach Zayin on the base at the bottom of the Omer at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah continues to discuss the schedule of the day of Yom Kippur with the Kohen Gadol. In the previous Mishnayos, we had discussed the Sar LaAzazel and how the Sar LaAzazel was taken out to the mountain to be thrown down the mountain. As that is happening, as the Sar LaAzazel was given to this individual, to this person, Balai Eitzel Par V'Sar Nisrafim, the Kohen Gadol would now approach the Par that he brought and the Sar LaHashem that he brought, that after he had done everything that we had spoken about till now, and now was the time for this, for these Kabbonis to be burnt outside, Koran, he ripped them apart. For Haitzias Mireyim, he took out the parts from inside which are burnt on the Mizbeach. For Nostim Bemegis, he put them into a bowl. Victir Malgava Mizbeach, to be burnt on the Mizbeach Achitzim. It's interesting to point out that our Mishnah, as many other Mishnayos, speak about the parts of the carbon that are burnt on the Mizbeach by calling them Amorim. And I saw a number of pshatim why they have this interesting name of Amorim. So the Aruch explains that their Amorim is from a language of Myra, of a leadership. The Amorim are the most important parts of the carbon because they're the only part of this carbon that is put on the Mizbeach. Another pshat that the Rambam learns, that Amorim comes from the word Amira, to speak. And these are the parts of the carbon that Amira, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to burn on the Mizbeach. Another pshat that I saw is the Pasuk says, Es Hashem Hamarta Hayoim, that we separate and dignify and glorify Hashem. And that's why these Amrim also, which are burnt on the Mizbeach, are dignified and separated from all the other parts of the carbon that are brought on the Mizbeach. The way Rashi explains the Mishnah, as soon as this part of the job, that after they sent out the Sar LaAzazel with the designated individual to the mountain, now our Mishnah is coming back, what should be done. And a lot of what's being done in this Mishnah, in the coming Sugya, is happening while the Sar is being taken to the mountain to be thrown down the mountain. Some things, as we're going to learn, they had to wait until the Sar went down the mountain. And some activities can begin immediately. The activities that are being mentioned in our Mishnah are those that were able to be gone immediately. They didn't have to wait for the Sar to be thrown down the mountain. So we learned that these Amrim that we just discussed were put into Klisharis, into Klisharis that's called on a Magus. I saw that the Migdash David points out that normally the halach is that when we have different Amrim of different Kabbonis, they have to be put into separate bowls. He points out that this situation with the power of Soyer Yom Kippur, which are not your typical Kabbonis, can be put into one bowl. Continues the Mishnah, Kolam B'Makleis, the power of Sar were put together on sticks, V'etzin L'Beis Sesreifa, and they were taken out to be burnt. Very fundamental Machloikis, Rashi and Rambam, how to understand what the Mishnah means with Kolam B'Makleis. Rashi explains that they took the power of Sar as these animals were still whole, and they braided the two animals together, and then put them on top of sticks, and that's how they were carried out of the base of Mikdash. The Rambam, however, disagrees. The Rambam says that the Par and Sar were cut into pieces, and that the various pieces of each one of these Kabbonis were braided together, and the Par was taken out, braided its pieces, braided together, and the Sar was taken out, its pieces, braided together. We also know that the Torah says Vasaris Oisom Yichams Begod of Rochitz B'Sar B'Mayim, that the person who burns these Kaban, these parvasar that we just discussed, he becomes tamei. He has to go to the mikveh. His clothing have to go to the mikveh. And the Mishnah discusses be'emesam etam begodim. At what point did the begodim of this individual become tamei? Mishiyotz chumetz chutz lechaimus azara. As soon as they're taken outside of the azara, Rav Shimon, however, holds mishiyatz beruban when most of it is lit, is put on fire. There's also a question which we discussed in the previous year, that whenever the Torah says Yechabis Begodov, that the clothing becomes Tamei, is this a halacha that's limited to the clothing? Or the Torah speaks about the clothing, but of course it's not limited to the clothing itself. The Rambam's opinion is that it's not limited to the clothing itself. The Rashi's opinion is that it's limited, that we're speaking about the clothing itself. Says the Gemara, Viktirin Salkadatach, the Mishnah says that they put the emrim of the parvasar in the bowls, and then they burnt them on the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, Viktirin Salkadatach, is now the time when they're burning these emrim? It's not yet the time to burn the emrim. Only when the Kohen Gadol will put on the Big Day Zov and do the carbon musaf is the time to burn these emrim. Says the Gemara, Ela Ema, the way to understand the Mishnah is not that they actually burnt the emrim at this point. They were prepared to be burnt when the time will come to burn them. Kol b'miklois, we also learned that they were braided together. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, k'min kliya. Like we explained, the word kliya means a braid. And we quoted the machlokes of Rashi and the Rambam. Was it the animals that were braided together or the pieces of the animal were braided together? Tana, says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, the halach is that the animal should be cut into pieces. Says the Gemara, loya natchan nituach bas oila. The pieces of the parent sore, the pieces of meat of the parent sore, were not cut like the pieces we have a carbon oila, which we know the halach is that when we burn a carbon, when we cut the carbon oila, we first take off the skin, the or from the carbon oila, and then cut it up. Ela or agabe abosur. The way these animals were cut up was with the skin still remaining on the meat, they were cut up that way. Says the Gemara, Mnani Mili, how do we know that this was not the way it was done? Says that it was not done like the carbon oila, but it was cut up while the skin was still on it. The Tanya Rebbe Oyman Nemekan, the Pasuk says, regarding the par and sov Yom Kippur, or ubas uperish. The Torah speaks about the skin, the meat, and the waste material. Because the Pasuk says, the sorf of Eish, es oiroisam, ves besoram, ves pirsham. V'nal malahalin, the Torah speaks about a par koi Mashiach. A par koi Mashiach is the Kohen Gadol who was anointed to be the Kohen Gadol. And the halach is that this special halacha that we're speaking about, the Kohen Gadol, only applies to a Kohen Gadol who was appointed to his position by being anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. We know that in different times in our history, the halacha was that they did not have Shemen HaMishcha. And since they didn't have Shemen HaMishcha, the way the Kohen Gadol was appointed was through Ribui Begadim, that he wore the Shemayna Begadim that the Kohen Gadol wears. Amish is referring to a situation where the Kohen Gadol is appointed with this halacha we're about to learn is speaking about a Kohen Gadol who was appointed by being anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. And there the Torah says that were he to do an Aveira, that if a regular individual did such an Aveira, Rechman al-Tzlam b'shoigig, he would bring a Kohen Chatos. The Kohen Gadol would have to bring a special carbon. And it's called the Par Kohen Mashiach, that's treated very differently. And one of the things that it is that the Torah says, Vesbar, Vesar, Vesar, Apar, Vesko, Vesaroi, Aroisha, Akrov, Vekibrai, Parshav. It's kept completely together, and it's taken out to be burned. Malahalon, So says the Gemara, just like by the Parakai Mashiach, we learn, Aidei Netuach Ivarim, that they cut up the meat. However, V'lai Aidei Hefshit, they don't take off the skin. Afkan, so too is the Halacha and the parents of Yom Kippur, it was done Aidei Netuach, before they were burnt, they were cut up into pieces. However, V'lai Aidei Hefshit, the skin was not removed from them. Says the Gemara, how do we know that that's the halacha by the Parakai Mashiach? As we just said, that the Parakai Mashiach is cut up into pieces, but the skin is not removed from it. How do we know that that's the halacha? Says the Gemara, the Tanya, the Torah teaches us, the Braisa teaches us, that the Torah, when it speaks about the Parakai Mashiach, which as we just said, the halacha is that the Parakai Mashiach is taken out for burning, the Torah says, Mechutz l'machnam. The Torah says, "Ves ora par, ves kol besorai roish v'krov, v'kibroy proshov, v'hoitzi is kol apar l'chutz menachna, v'sorav oisam etzim be'ish." Melamed. So that pasuk is teaching us, "Shemitziyoy sholim." You have to take it out in its entirety. So the way Rashi learns the Gemara, we remove the emurim, and everything else is taken out in one piece. The Rambam says that we cut it up, but rather, instead of normally when we cut something up, we have it completely detached, the various pieces. Here says the Rambam, it's cut up in a way that the pieces are still semi-attached. Yochel continues the Braisa, that we should take it out, that when we take it out, it has to be in one piece. So too, Yisrafenu, when we burn it, Sholem, it should have to be in one piece and not cut it up into pieces. Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, Nemakan, the Torah, when it speaks about the Parakai Mashiach, says, V'os'ora par, V'skob sora al-roishoi v'al-krov, V'nemelahalon, when the Torah speaks about putting a carbon oil on the Mizbeach, the Torah says, Roishoi u'krov, the pasuk, words of the pasuk are v'orcho b'nei Aaron haKohanim as a nusachim as a roish v'as a podor v'kirbay ukrov yirchatz b'mayim malahalon. Just like by carbon oila, we have to cut it up al yidei netuach, because as the pasuk says explicitly, v'orcho b'nei Aaron haKohanim as a nusachim afkan. So too is the halacha by the burning of the parakai Mashiach that it has to be done al yidei netuach. Says the Gemara, if we're going to learn Xer Shava from a carbon oila, malahalan, so we should learn it all the way, suggests the Gemara. And just like over there, the halacha is that the carbon oila is burnt, Aidei Hefshit, first we take off the skin. So here too, we should suggest, Afkan, the halacha is by me here too, it should only be done by the Parakai Mashiach, it should be done Aidei Hefshit, by taking off the skin. Tamaloymer, Okibre Prussia. From here we learn that it's not removed. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, how do the words Okibre Prussia indicate that we don't take off the skin before we burn it? Amra Papa. Rapapa says that the fact that the Torah connects and compares the Or and the Basa to the Kerev and perish the waste. They're all mentioned together in the pasuk together. As we said, the pasuk says, "Vesar hapar, veskol besaroi, al roishoy v'akrov uchiboy aprosha." So we learn shem shapirishoy. Certainly, when we speak about the waste, we take it out mekirboy when it's still in the stomach. Nobody would suggest that we should remove the waste from inside the animal and carry it that way. Would be very disrespectful. It would be not the way to bring a carbon. Kach besaroi. So since the Torah connects these to halacha, we say the same thing, that the way it's taken out is the way the Parakai Mashiach is taken out with the skin still on the basar. So what we see from here, that the Parakai Mashiach, we cut it up before the burning, and we also learn that we don't take off the or. And the same thing that the Parium Kippurim says, the Gemara, we learn Xer Shava, the Parium Kippurim from the Parakai Mashiach, that the Parium Kippurim was brought. As we learned in the Mishnah, there's a special halacha that whoever works, whoever works with these karbonas, he becomes tamei, his clothing become tamei. So the Mishnah discussed at what point does that halacha kick in. So says the Gemara begins quoting a brisa, exactly where did they burn the power of Sar? Tanra Bonan. The Torah says regarding the Pav Sar Yom Kippur, "Ves para chatzos asar chatzos yoytzi amchutz lemachna v'sarfa be'esh." So the Torah says mchutz lemachna, only one machna. We know that in the Midbar, Klal Yisrael had three machnas. There was the machna Yisrael where all of Klal Yisrael lived. There was the machna Leviya, and then there was the machna Hashchina, which was from the opening of the chatzor through including the Mishkan itself. And similarly, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, there were three machnas. There was Yerushalayim till the Har HaBayis was Machna Yisrael. The Har HaBayis until the Azorah was the Machna Leviya. And the Azorah and the Beis HaMikdash were the Machna Shechina. And the Torah says here, Yoytzei Amchutz L'machna. So if the Torah here says, and this is a pasuk that's stated regarding the Parhelm Dovish Tzibur, which the Torah says that if Klal Yisrael did an Aveira B'Shogeg based on an incorrect psak of the Bezdin, we have to bring a Parhelm Dovish Tzibur. The halach is that Lahalan, by the Parhelm Dovish Tzibur, at the Noislehem Sholosh Machnas, the halach is that they were taken out of the three machnas, they're in the category of chatas and esrafos, that the halacha on those karbonas, as we mentioned a little earlier, is that none of that carbon is eaten, rather the amrim are burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest of the animal are burnt. Those are the parakai mashiach, the parahelm dovish atzibur, and in our shir we're learning that so too is the halacha by the power of esar shem kippurim. So just like by the Parham Dovish Tzibur and the Parakoyim Mashiach at the Noislam Sholosh Machnas, they're taken out of all three Machnas to burn them. And the Torah says, V'kan, are we going to suggest, says the Gemara, at the Noislam Machna Achas, that we're going to take the Parasar Shem Kippur only out to one Machna? It doesn't make sense. Just like those karmi chattas are removed from all three machnas, here too, they're removed from all three machnas. So ask the brisa. So then that is indeed the halacha, that the power of the sar of Yom Kippur are removed from all three machnas. So now we have a question. In Keilam and Nevin, Mechutz Machna, the pasuk that we quoted a moment ago indicates that Mechutz L'machna, that they're only taken out of one machna. So what's the halacha? Are they taken out from all three machnas? Or are they only taken out from one machna? Loi Melach, to teach us a new halacha, that indeed they're taken out from all three machnas. But even though they're taken out to be burnt, but Mekivin Shiyotza, Chutz L'machna Achnas, as soon as they leave one machna, the halacha that we speak about, Tumas Begodim, happens right away. But one thing the Gemara took for granted, that the Parham Dovish Tzibur, the Parakai Mashiach, are taken out of all three machnas. Ask the Gemara, the Hosman Olan, and where do we know that halacha? Says the Gemara, the Torah, when it speaks about the Parakai Mashiach, says, V'hoitzi is kol apar, amchutz la machna, a shefach adeshen, v'sorav oysam eitzim ve'esh. Says the Gemara, that the bright, says the Brisa, that the Torah is teaching us here that it's taken out Chutz l'sholosh machnas, outside of all three machnas. Ask the Brisa itself, Ata oimim chutz l'sholosh machnas, why are you taking for granted that they're taken out chutz l'sholosh machnas? Maybe oina elim chutz l'machnachas. Maybe it's only removed for one machna. And says the Brisa, Kshama b'par eda, when the Torah says, by the par helm dovish atzibur, V'hoitzi sapar al mechutz l'machna, v'sorof oisei kishay sorof as a pararishin, shein tam aloimer, the Torah need not say the words of Mechutz Machna. Shrei Kva Nemar, the Torah already says, V'sorof oisei kishay sorof as a pararishin, that the Torah says that we should treat the parhelm dovish at Tzibur like we treat the Parakoy Mashiach. And if the Torah told us, as we said a moment ago, that the Parakoy Mashiach is taken Mechutz Machna, we would obviously understand that so too is the halacha by the Parhelm Dovish Tzibur. So why did the Torah have to say but a paratam davish tzibur al mechutz lemachna to teach us lita lemachna shniya, that it's come to teach us it's taken out of an additional machna. So what we're up to now is that we know it's taken out of two machnas. Kishu oimer, when the Torah says ufashas begad of lavish begad mecherim vaitzi es adeshen al mechutz lemachna makam tar bedeshen, the Torah speaks about every morning. We know that the first thing they did was the Trumas Hadeshen. That every morning they took a ladle full of ash and they put it on the side of the Mizbeach. But when there was a lot of ash accumulated on the Mizbeach, they used to take them off the Mizbeach and take it a Mechutz L'machna, to outside the Machna, to the base Hadeshen. And that's what the Torah says, that the deshen should be taken there. Now, there too, the Torah uses the words mechutz l'machna. Now, says the Braisa, shein tam aloymer. There's no need to tell us that those words mechutz l'machna. Shekfar nemar, because the Torah, when it speaks about the par koi Mashiach, says v'hoitzi es kol par a mechutz l'machna a mokem tor al shefach hadeshen. So we know that the place we take this, the par koi Mashiach, is to the place where we take the deshen. So we obviously know that if the pasuk says explicitly that the par koi Mashiach is taken a mechutz machna, so too is the deshen taken mechutz machna. So why does the Torah say that we have to? Why does the Torah have to explicitly say that we take the deshen mechutz machna to teach us? That it's removed from all three machnas. So by having the Torah say mechutz l'machna in these three different occasions, we come to the conclusion that the par helm davish al tzibur, the par kai Mashiach, the deshen, all of them are taken chutz l'shalosh machnas. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon, that according to, and therefore we learned earlier that the pasuk a mechutz l'machna that the Torah teaches us by the power of Yom Kippur comes to teach us that even though they take it out mechutz l'shalosh machnas, just like all these other kabbanis are taking out chutz l'shalosh machnas, so too the power of Yom Kippur are taking mechutz l'shalosh machnas. So the Gemara said the Torah said the word mechutz l'machna regarding those kabbanis to teach us that the tumah begins as soon as they're taken out of the azara. But Rav Shimon, who our Mishnah learned not like that. And our Mishnah says that the Tumah only kicks in when the fire starts burning. So what's he going to do with this pasuk, chutz l'machna? He obviously cannot use this pasuk, chutz l'machna, to teach us that the Tumah begins as soon as the Karbonis leave the Azara. My Ovidlei answers the Gemara, Mibayle l'chertanya. He needs it for another purpose. Rav Lezer, Oymen Nemekan, the Torah says regarding the parents of Yom Kippurim, Mechutz l'machna, and the Torah says regarding the Para Aduma, V'nesatam oysel alozah akoyin, V'yitziya oysel mechutz l'machna, V'shachar oysel l'fanav, Makan, so we learn Gzeri Shova, just like the Para of Yom Kippurim, we're learning is taken out, chutz l'sholosh machnas, so too, the Shechit of the Para Aduma has taken out chutz l'shalosh machnas. Omar lahalon, the par aduma is done on the east side of Yerushalayim, as the pasuk says, v'hiza al noichach pnei al moed. So if we're learning the par aduma from the par of Yom Kippurim, we're going to learn the par Yom Kippur and the par Yom Davish Hatzibah and the par Koyim Mashiach from the par aduma, that where was the location that they were burnt, afkan b'mizrach Yerushalayim, on the east side of Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara Rabbanon, who said that the pasuk mechutz l'machna is coming to teach us that we burn, that the tumah of the power of Yom Kippur begins as soon as it's taken out of the azara. Heches sarafla. So we don't have a pasuk connecting this to the par aduma. So the question is, where, according to them, would the power of sar of Yom Kippurim burnt? Says Tanya. The Torah says regarding the par helm dover and the par koyim Mashiach, hechen esrafim, in which direction around Yerushalayim were they burnt? Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, l'tzvoina, Yerushalayim. They were burnt on the north side of Yerushalayim. That just like kotche kotchim are typically worked on the north side, this too was done on the north side. V'chutz l'shalosh machnas, and as we learned earlier, this was done chutz l'shalosh machnas. Rabbi Yossi Omer, They were burnt at base Adesh and Asrafim. The Torah says regarding the Parakai Mashiach, we said a moment ago, Al Shef and Adefach Yisarev. So from here we learn that the same place where they take the ash, that's the same place that any of these Kabbalists that have to be burnt, they're burnt over there. So the question that the Achronim discuss in understanding this Gemara are a number of questions. Is the Torah teaching us that this is a place where there was ash, but not necessarily must there be ash when we're burning these Kabbalists? Or is the Torah telling us more? The Torah is telling us that when we burn the Kabbalists, there should be ash over there. The Sfas Emes learns, as long as this was a place that there was once ash, even though currently there is no ash, it's satisfactory. The other Achronim disagree, and they say that there has to be ash at that point, over there, at that spot, right now. The Gemara continues, and furthermore, and the question is, does it have to be to the north or not? Some say that Rabbi Yossi agrees to the Tanna Kamma that it has to be to the north side, but on top of it being to the north side, it also has to be Beis Hadeshen. The Chavetz Chaim in the Sefer Lekutei Halachos says that it doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be to the north side. All Rabbi Yossi requires is that there should be a place of ash. It doesn't have to be, there has to be the Beis Hadeshen, but it doesn't have to be any ash there currently. It doesn't have to be on the north side. It says the Ma'amar of a man talent, the polygon of Rabbi Yossi, who is the Tanna Kamma that disagrees with Rabbi Yossi and doesn't require that the Sreifas the burning of this power has to be on the Beis Hadeshen, says the Gemara, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. It's the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Al Shefen Adesach Yisarev, Shehei L'Sham Deshen, that there has to be a place where there's ash, as we just learned the opinion of Rav Yossi. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Oimer, Al Shefen Echtefech, Shehei Mekam Meshupach. It has to be a place that's on a slant, and that the ash, as we burn the Kabbalists, we'll be able to roll away, says the Gemara. Maybe the Machlokes is entirely if it has to be slanty, but nobody will require that it has to be in the place where there was ash. In other words, that who says, asked the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't require that it should be a Makom Deshen. It could be very well that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov requires that it should be a Makom Deshen. But on top of it, it should be a Makom Deshen, he also requires that it should be slanty. But saying that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does not require that it should be an Makom Deshen, we don't necessarily have a raya. We don't necessarily have a raya to that point. Tanna Rabbanan continues the Gemara. The Torah speaks about burning the power in Sion Yom Kippur. And as we learned, the Torah says, V'asarif oisam yechabes begodav. So we learned, says the Gemara, from the word oisam, hasarif. The person who's burning these kabbanas, he becomes tamei, his clothing become tamei, mitamei begodim. However, v'loi hametzis haseish. The person who puts on the fire, v'loi masada merocha, not the person who sets up the wood. V'ez is a sarif. Who is the person that actually burns the carbon? In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that only the person who actually lights the fire and is involved in burning the carbon, that's the person who's Matam Begodim. And moreover, I saw that the Achronim say that if somebody made the fire, but he wasn't involved in burning the carbon, he wouldn't be Tamei. It has to be involved with the fire and the carbon itself. Yochel af mishnasu eifim v'tam begodim. To tell you the Braisa, I would think that even after these kabbanos are reduced to ash, they're still v'tam begodim. Tameloim oisam. Oisam v'tam begodim. As long as they're still here. V'loim mishnasu eifim v'tam begodim. But once they're reduced to ash, they no longer v'tam begodim. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Omer, hapar, that he's even more lenient. And he says it's only considered something that could give off tumma when it still has the look of a par. That's metame. Nitach habasar, once the meat starts to dissolve, disintegrate, ein metame begodim, it no longer is Matam Begodim. And I saw that the Gilyon Hashas explains the reason is because it's considered Panim Chadoshes Bolakan. When it starts disintegrating and no longer recognizable as a par, it's not considered a par anymore. And since it's not considered a par anymore, the halakas of the par no longer apply. Ask the Gemara. Everybody agrees that we just learned that once they're reduced, they're no longer giving off tumah. So once the Gemara wants to know my benayu, what's the practical nafkamina? Says Gemara, ik benayu the shav yecharucha. They already started getting burnt, and they were burnt in their charcoal, but they're not yet ash. According to the Talmud Kama, until they're ash, they're matam begodim. According to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, as long if they're already burnt, even though they're not reduced all the way to being ash, they're no longer matam begodim. So we learned that after the Kohen Gadol sent the Saul Azazel to the Midbar, the halacha is he can't continue doing the avoid of Yom Kippur until they let him know that the Saul arrived in the Midbar. And as the Mefarshim, the Rishonim will point out, that everything that we learned in the previous Mishnah was not really an avoida, and was done until the Saul Azazel got to the Midbar. But to do any of the real avoidus that the Torah HaKadosh speaks about, that the Kohen Gadol had to do on Yom Kippur, he may not resume to do those avoidus until the Saul Azazel got to the Midbar. Because the Torah says, V'shilach has a Saul b'Midbar, you should send the Saul Azazel to the Midbar, and only afterwards does the Torah HaKadosh say, V'sachel v'chatas yakter mizbecha. So you can't put anything on the Mizbeach until that happens. So says the Mishnah, Amar l'Kohen Gadol, Higia Saul l'Midbar. They notify him that the Saul arrived to the Midbar, and once they notified him of that, he could continue doing the Avoid HaYoyim. Omanayin asked the Mishnah, HaYoyim Shigia Saul l'Midbar, how did they know that this indeed happened? Says the Gemara, D'choy Soy Oysen Omanifim B'Sudrim. They used to make like platforms, and they had people standing with flags, and they would not, and they would have a system how from one flag to another flag, they know that the Saul arrived. Yudin Shigir Saul l'Midbar. Am Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, why do we have to follow such a method? We know that the area, the amount of distance from Yushlayim until the Midbar is Shloshim Milin. So we also learned in the Mishnah Holchin that they escorted the Mishleach Mil, and then Chayzer Mil, and then it takes them a Mil. Those people in the first hut could go to their hut, come back from the hut, Shoyin today Mil, and then measure the time it takes to wait to walk a Mil. And they know through all that, Yodim Shagir and Saul Midbar. If they just to wait the amount of time it takes to get to the Midbar, to travel this distance. Why do they have to have this system? Says the Gemara. Rishmal Oima, V'lai Simen Echer Ha'ilhem. Rishmal says there was a different Simen. Didn't we learn in our previous year, the Loshen Shel Zahiris, that they had this red thread that were kasha apostle shel heichel that was put on the door of the heichel? Ukshigia saw the midbar haya loshem malbin, it would turn white. Shenemar emiyu chatoichechem kishonik shel yabino. So of course the mefarshim say the reason the other opinions don't agree with Rabbi Shmuel goes back to what we learned in our previous year, that indeed originally they used to put the red thread at the door of the ulam, but at a certain point, it caused embarrassment. It caused people to be too busy with it, so they stopped doing it, so they couldn't rely on it. Another pshat that we saw is that we know that not Klai Yisrael were always privileged that the red thread should turn white. So to rely on that would not make sense, because what happens if it doesn't turn white? So we learned in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that we know that he traveled the amount of time it takes to walk that distance, that the Kohen Gadol could begin doing the avoda. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye Shmami no beis chadudu b'midbar kaima. That he had to arrive to the Midbar to the place where it's thrown down. We're learning from here. Yehuda, Shekivin, Shegia, Sol, Midbar, Nasis, Mitzvosai. What the Gemara is teaching us is, all of Yehuda required is to wait the amount of time that it should get to the Midbar. But once it gets to the Midbar, we know that it's the job was done. So we see from here that that's all that's required, nothing more. The Mishnah continues with the avoided the schedule of the day of Yom Kippur. So now that we know for certain that the Sar has arrived to the Midbar, Balai Kohen Gadol likrais. The Kohen Gadol, Balai, so the Gemara explains, as the Miri says, that the Kohen Gadol comes to the Ezras Noshim, that area in the Azara. That's where the Kriyas HaTorah took place. And the halacha is that they could not begin the Kriyas HaTorah until the avoider with the Sarla Azazel wasn't done. Moreover, the Rambam points out that not only did they not start reading from the Torah until the Sar arrived to where it was supposed to arrive, but moreover, he says that the Kohen didn't even get up to go to the Ezras Yisrael until the time where the Sar arrived that he was supposed to get to. Why was it so important to read from the Torah? So one pshat is that one of the brachas, we're going to discuss the various brachas that were said on the Kriyas HaTorah, and one of the brachas on the Kriyas HaTorah was Ala Mechila, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us for our avarice, and therefore, only after the Sar Azazel is thrown down the mountain do we know that we had an avoida. Do we know that we had the Mechila? So says the Mishnah, Mratzel Likras B'Big Day Butz, if he wants to read the Torah where he's wearing the Big Day Lovin that he was wearing previously, Kairei, says the Mishnah, he may do so. Vimlav, if he doesn't want to, Kairei B'Istel Lovin M'Shaloi, he could buy his own white garment and use it that for that purpose. But as we learned at the beginning of Masechta, were he to do so, he would have to give over that garment to the ownership of the Tzibur. Says the Mishnah, Chazan HaKnesses. And the Chazan HaKnesses is the person who was in charge of the Beis HaKnesses. Neitel Sefer Torah would take it to Sefer Torah, for Nois Neil Rosh HaKnesses, and give it to the person who was in charge of the Tefillah in the Beis HaKnesses. There's a serious discussion here. What is the definition of the Chazan HaKnesses? The Chazan HaKnesses means the person who's in charge of the Beis HaKnesses. Here we're in the Beis HaMikdash. Where is there a Beis HaKnesses? And in general, where did they take the Sefer Torah from? So Rabbi Yoshev in the Sefer says that in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, where there was the Oren, they took the Sefer Torah from the Oren. In the Beis HaMikdash Seini, there was no Sefer Torah. There was no Oren, as we learned. There was no Sefer Torah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They took a Sefer Torah that they had there. Moreover, as many Mefarshim point out, there was a Beis HaKnesses right there. Why did they have a Beis HaKnesses there? So they saw for many reasons. One reason is that we know Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azara El Malchi Beis David B'Vad. No one is allowed to sit in the Azara, only the kings from Malchi Beis David. So if somebody wanted to come daven, and he was going to daven a serious long davening, he's not going to be able to sit down. So that's why they made a Beis HaKnesses where he could sit. Another pshat that I saw was that certainly anybody who was Tamei, but in general, they refrained from having people, now like going to the Beis HaMikdash or Be'er Kanes, but even going into the Azara, they refrained from just being there. But if people wanted to daven, they had a Beis HaKnesses. Another pshat that I saw is that the Azara was a completely exposed area. And since it was a completely exposed area, they needed to, if they wanted to daven and not be exposed to the rain and to all the elements, that's why they had a Beis HaKnesses over there where they were daven, and there was an individual to be in charge of that Beis HaKnesses. And in fact, I saw that the Rambam writes that when he came to visit Eretz Yisrael, he saw there was a Beis HaKnesses HaGadol, and it was considered the Mokum HaKadosh. It was considered the holiest place in Eretz Yisrael. And then many suggest that what the Rambam meant to say was that, of course, when the Rambam came to Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, the Beis HaMikdash was no longer standing, but this Beis HaKnesses that we're speaking about was still standing when he got there. So it says, the Mishnah Chazan HaKnesses Noitel Sever Torah V'Noisel Rosh HaKnesses V'Rosh HaKnesses Noisel Skan V'Skan Noisel Kohen Gadol. And he gives it to Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, Oymen HaMakabel, and the Kohen Gadol accepts the Sefer Torah. So the Meiri asks, the Meiri actually quotes a Yerushalmi. Usually the halacha is that when somebody wants to read from a Sefer Torah, the proper behavior is to walk towards the Sefer Torah. And here we're learning that the Sefer Torah was brought to him. So the Yerushalmi says, the Meiri says, that everything we do for the Sefer Torah is to show kavod for the Sefer Torah. And the kavod that's shown to the Sefer Torah here, by the Sefer Torah being given and carried by the most important people of Klal Yisrael, that was showing great respect to the Kohen Gadol. Moreover, I saw that the Tosfos Yontov explains, that's what it says here, the Kohen Gadol Oymer the Mekabel. The Kohen Gadol showing the tremendous respect to the Sefer Torah, he gets up deliberately with a great pomp and circumstance to show the respect that he's showing to the Sefer Torah that he's getting up in its honor. Kohen Gadol Oymer the Kerboi, he reads about the avoid of Yom Kippurim in Parshas Achrimos. The pshat is to show that with following the instructions that the Torah gives us in Parshas Achrimos, and then he also reads Ach Basar, which is Parshas Emor, also where we have the halachas of what's supposed to happen in Yom Kippur, again to show that we're following the rules. The Goyal Sefer Torah, and then he rolls the Sefer Torah, Menichai Bechekoi, and puts it in his lap. Again, says the Avodas Yisrael, to show its the tremendous respect, how he's sitting there holding the Sefer Torah with such love and respect. Vayimran, he announced, it's Yosef Masha Karosi Lefnechem, much more than it says in the Sefer Torah, Kosef Kan, is said here. What he's trying to show is that there's much more in the Sefer Torah, even though we haven't read everything. And he says in the Mishnah, in the Be'eser, and what we have in Pechumash Bekodim, Parshas Pinchas, where the Torah speaks about the Kabbonis, and the Kabbonis that are brought in Yom Kippurim, that he reads Al-Peh. So Karen Oyer says that we're about to learn that he makes the brachas. This announcement is made before they made the brachas. And since it's made l'kavod haTorah, it's not considered a hefsek. And in fact, the Shaul Teshuvah Shvus Yaakov discusses a question that there are many menhagim when to say Agdamas on Shvus. And in certain communities, the meaning is that they make the Birchas haTorah and then they say Agdamas. And the question the Shvus Yaakov discusses is why isn't that considered a hefsek between the bracha and the Kriyas haTorah? And he says that anything that's done for Kavod HaTorah is not considered a hefsek. And now the Mishnah discusses the brachas that the Kohen Gadol says after the Kriyas HaTorah. The question is, why about the bracha? We know that every time somebody gets an aliyah, he makes a bracha before he gets the aliyah. He makes the bracha, Shabbat Habanu. Why is that not mentioned here? So some say, because here, as we're about to learn, there's so many new brachas that are mentioned, so the Mishnah is only speaking about the brachas, the new brachas that are not typically said, that are said here on Yom Kippur. But many of the opinion, it's the opinion of the Yerushalmi, that the chiyuv of the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur is not a chiyuv of the Tzibur. When there's a chiyuv of the Tzibur, so then everybody who gets an aliyah is supposed to make a bracha. This is a chiyuv of the Kohen. And since it's the private chiyuv of the Kohen, there is no bracha recited before the aliyah. There are only brachas that are recited after the aliyah. And what are the brachas? Says the Mishnah, there was shmeina brachas. Eight brachas were recited, ala Torah. The regular bracha that we say after somebody gets an aliyah, asher nosel on the Torah's emes, ala avoida, to thank Hashem for the avoida that was done, ala haidah, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to have the Nusach in the Gemara. And Mechilas Avon, as we mentioned earlier, the Kohen announces thanking Hashem that we had Mechilas Avonis, and that's why we said this is done after the Sol HaZazel is thrown down the mountain. We have the Mechila, Al Midish b'fnei Atzmon, a brach for the Beis HaMikdash, Al Yisrael b'fnei Atzmon, Al Yishlaim b'fnei Atzmon, Al Kahanim b'fnei Atzmon, Val Shara Tfilo, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill all our needs. Haroi Kohen Gadol Kishukairi, says the Mishnah, if somebody was observing the Kohen Gadol as he's reading the Pasuk Yom Kippurim, Ein Haroi Parasar Nisrafim. He can't see the say at that time the Parasar Nisrafim, but Parasarafim Ein Haroi Kohen Gadol Kishukairi. Loi Pnei She'en Rishoi, he says the Mishnah, not because there's some sort of a halachic reason that it may not be done, El Shahai Sadech Rechaika, if the place where these animals were burnt, as we learned, was early in our shir, with chutz and the sholosh machnas. So it was quite a distance between the azara, the azras noshim, where the kriyas haTorah took place, and the burning of these par and the sar. And they were both done at the same time, so it's just physically impossible to be in these two different places, which were so far from each other at the same time.